You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church, Ross on Wye. To find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Those of you that don't know, we're a part of a series where we're talking about go and make disciples of all nations. And this is our go. This is what we're going to do. Just for a bit of context, in Isaiah, he has spent Isaiah 1 to 39 talking, giving warnings, and then on 40 onwards is writing to a people that have just been overcome by Babylon and Syria. So he's talking to a people that have been exiled, they're lonely, they're divided, but the reason they're divided is because of their sin. So God has divided them. So in we come with these huge, huge promises, which is really exciting. Also, you'll recognize this is the same verse that Jesus speaks when he's in the temple. So I'm not going to lie. If he says it twice, it's definitely worth listening to. So, but then he basically says at the end, scripture has been fulfilled, which is outrageous in the eyes of the people he's reading that verse to, because obviously that's saying that he is sovereign and Lord. So let's, what I thought we could do is go through these verses and think really practically, how can we do this as the chosen generation, the royal priesthood that God has called us to be? How can we do these things practically? So the first bit says, and he has anointed me. And I think it's really important that we just pause here a little bit and just recognize what this is saying. This is not because we're so great at being Christians that he's anointing us. It's because of God's sacrifice. And in the Amplified Classic Edition, it actually says he's anointed and qualified me. And I think so often we can write ourselves off because we think, oh, well, I haven't got a psychology or a theology degree, so I shouldn't. But God has called you right where you are to the people that you're around for a purpose. And by not doing that, you're not getting to experience God at work in you and through you. So the first part says, bring good news to the poor. Some versions say suffering and afflicted. After working with the poor in South Africa, I really noticed there's this mindset of if you've been brought up poor, you always will be poor, so there's nothing you can do about it. So it's a poverty mentality that you just live for today. There's no thinking I'm going to save for tomorrow. It's just what it is today, and this is my lot, basically. But what I saw is in this cycle of drug abuse, alcoholism, teenage pregnancy, there's this cycle that just goes round and round and round. And it's only the gospel that can set people free from that, because it's an assurance that God has died for you where you're at and he has a plan for your life. That's the only thing that's going to break it. So through the academy, we could do all the great ideas that we could, but unless the kids were getting to understand the gospel, the work was useless. So I think that's something we maybe in a Western culture sometimes lose perspective of, that the gospel is so powerful. It's breaking people out of a system that they can't see that they can break. So that's a really good start, is sharing the gospel. The other thing, though, is it's not always in words. It's sometimes in deed. I was really lucky, actually, this week to see that in action. Those of you that maybe don't know me so well, last week Friday, my mother-in-law's house burnt down due to an electrical fault. It completely was gutted. She's very poor and she lost everything. Those are things that's taken years and years to accumulate. Her house was given to her by the government after apartheid, and it was just a shell, and my father-in-law built things up. But when you're in poverty, there's no safety net. There's no saved up money for one day. And also in South Africa, there's no government funding or initiatives that come alongside. It is just what it is. In overnight, she lost everything. So Llewellyn and I started a crowdfunding, I've never done it before, but on Facebook. And we were blown away by people that gave, not because they knew her, but because they saw a need and wanted to give generously. And it's so powerful to see faith in action. What that speaks to my mother-in-law is that God sees you, he understands, and he can meet you in your need, giving you abundantly more than you can think or imagine. And just through faithful and generous people being able to put their faith in action, that's demonstrated to not only her, but her family and her community that live around what God's character is like. And I think that's what's so exciting. You see tiny bits of God's character on earth, and that's super, super exciting. And I feel that that is what we're called to, is to be faith in action. With just words, it doesn't hold the weight. God's heart for us is that we can be people of action. So the next part is to bind up or to heal the brokenhearted. And as I was reflecting, it's only through relationship that you can do that. It's only through discipleship. When your people are hurting, it could be they're experiencing grief. It could be they're hurt by church. But only through walking a journey with somebody, you can really talk through them, to them about their situation. It's not that you can jump in at that line and then suddenly give a really good idea of how faithful God is. It's through a relationship with people. So I just want to encourage you to think about who God has put in your life right now, and who are you meant to be walking a journey with at this time. The next part is proclaim freedom or liberty to the captives. And as I was thinking over this and praying, I really thought, isn't it amazing that when somebody's a captive, somebody pays a ransom for them to be returned. And ultimately, obviously, our ransom is the gospel. Jesus has died to set us free. There's nothing I can say in, you've got this. It's that, again, it's that assurance of the gospel that will show people that you are not, this is not your lot. Speaking truth and encourage, because I think it's sometimes hard. It's easy, isn't it, when you're talking and you think, that's not right. But you think, oh, just agree. But to speak, actually, that's not true. You are not stuck. This is not the end. God has a plan for you, a plan to prosper you and not to harm you. And so by speaking courage and truth into a situation is really helpful. I also think this is true of being captive in anxiety or mental health issues. I think getting alongside people and being truth where there's lies and lies that just pile up is really important. The next one is freedom to prisoners, which is sort of the same, but I think there's a part to this that's a bit different. So we had a granny in our church in South Africa, and she would go to the holding cells in Somerset West, and she would pray with prisoners. And that is awesome. That is amazing. She saw amazing things happen. And maybe God is calling you to go and preach to those in prison, but don't write yourself off. There's also a really... believe it's a slave to sin as well. That song that says, I am no longer a slave to sin, I am a child of God. In Romans 6, verse 1 to 7, it says, in verse 6, we know that the person we used to be was crucified with him to put an end to sin in our bodies. Because of this, we are no longer slaves to sin. We have a freedom in Christ. I don't know if you guys did that book. It was a bit of a trend. The Freedom in Christ book, where you renounce the sins in your life and you replace them with truth. And I think that's really powerful, that we ourselves can do that in our quiet time as we see things creeping in, that we say, no, I renounce that. That is not from God. That's from the devil. And I replace it with truth. But for that, we need to know the truth. So it means being in the Word and letting God reveal himself to you through that. And also for friends of ours, that you're hearing them say these things that are not true, challenge it and say, no, I don't believe that for you. I believe the truth of God is this, and help them through it. So accountability, discipleship is just so important. The last part is proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of God. That little chunk there just reminds me the day of Jubilee, when every 50 years in Israel, the Israelites would wipe all debts and release the prisoners. And it was a year where they would let crops go. So there was just this year of glorifying God. Sorry, let me read a little bit this side. It was a day of anointing in Numbers 36, verse 4. So they would blow the ram's horn, and then the day would be dedicated to the restoration of poverty, freeing people from debt and slavery. And I think it, again, that connotates to what the new church was in Acts as well. This idea that everybody was released from the past and God's restoring, basically, that they would let their land go so it had time to restore to be able to plant again. And that's exciting. That's what we are shouting for this weekend, is that it's done. God has died so that we can live, not because of our sin, not because of what we've done, but because of his grace. And I think we need to be proclaimers of that. I think it's so easy to drop your head and think, oh, it is terrible, what's going on? Well, it is terrible what's going on in Ukraine, but that isn't the end. That's not the finish. Our eyes are set to eternity. And it's interesting that Isaiah links this straight away to comfort all those who mourn. And I've been lucky enough to really see that. Again, I'm sure you know, my gran is dying of cancer at the moment, and my aunties and uncles aren't Christians. My mum obviously is. And because of death, it can bring such anxiety, it can bring fear, because there's not an understanding of anything else. This is it. This is the end. But we have a hope in the future. And Mum is able to go into that place with a confidence and an assurance that if my gran dies, she'll spend forever with Jesus, which is way better than where she is right now. And it doesn't just come. Just us being in that situation isn't enough. We often pray as a family before she goes. Even in the car, she prays, give me the words, God, to bring a new perspective, bring a different way of looking at things. And we are, wherever we are, we can be an atmosphere changer and a creator of life, because we believe in something that's bigger than just today. And I think that's powerful and something that we often just take for granted. As I was going through this, I think the themes that I was seeing is it's about walking a journey. And those of you that have been in church a while, you'll know that walking the journey means the nitty-gritty, it means the time-consuming, messy, the things that are uncomfortable, but God is giving you an anointing to do that. And I think we sometimes would love to see, you know, God's power on earth, but only if it's convenient, or only if it's a bit comfortable. But it's amazing, it's through tragic situations, it's through crazy times when you're living away from your husband for 6 months, and that wouldn't have been your ideal. But through that, so many conversations I've had with people but we know God has told us to come. I wonder if I would have had those conversations if he was just next to me and there wasn't such a waiting. I've been super aware that being back, I've met a few friends that I was, were Christian friends, and I've really seen a few of them that really have lost this sense of zeal and like being called to something. And I think I'd love us this morning to take some time and pray in pairs with not your wife or your husband, with somebody else, and really pray that God would help us stand shoulder to shoulder on this mission together. Won't help us to see which people are you bringing across our path that we need to be working with and encouraging. But also I just see that it's that lack of faith or falling away doesn't just happen. It's like subtle degrees of compromise of, oh, it's been the pandemic, so I won't go back to church. And there's a real thing when you're disconnected from church. So I want to say, well done, you made it. Being connected into this morning, deciding to come this morning, is I want to be part of other people that want to glorify God and want to go on this mission together. But it's also being accountable to each other. Nobody's got the first prize yet, apart from Jesus. He's the only one, and he was selfless. I think sometimes we think, oh, we tried, and then it didn't work. They didn't become a Christian in a week, so I just rather won't next time. But stand with each other in the good, in the bad. That's the only way that we see God's glory come through discipleship. So I just want to come into land with this verse. It says, in Galatians 2, verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live is in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved and gave up his Son for me. I just think that's so important. With all of this, we can try and do it in our own strength and because we're so wise and because we're so sorted. But it's not about that. It's about realizing that we have been crucified with Christ. It's going to be painful. It's going to be hard. But that's where people see God in us, when it's not all airy fairy. So I'd like us now, we're going to split up in pairs. I'd love us to pray firstly if any of those things you're feeling at the moment, so whether you're feeling brokenhearted or any of those five things that we went through, that you feel that you're not handing to God. And then secondly, pray for each other in terms of being on mission. This is our go. We're going to proclaim and we're going to have a conviction of our heart that my life on earth is not done until I tell as many people. And it's not tell, it's get alongside and live and do Jesus with them. And so just pray courage and strength into each other. And again, reminding ourselves of the anointing we have with God. So yeah, that actually is it. I'm full disclaimer, I'm a teacher and not a preacher. So I cannot preach for very long. Can we do that? If you just find somebody around you and pray with them, that would be great. If you're a visitor, you can pray together. It's fine.
Before we pray, I want to emphasize the need of what is Beth is leading us to do. I don't know if you're familiar, if you understood the day that Jesus died. Because sometimes for us, we just take for granted that was on a Friday. And we think it could be any day of the week. It could be on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. No, but he died on a Friday. I don't know if you are aware what that means for a Jew. It means that on the Saturday, they could do nothing. I don't know if you are aware of it, but the Jews, they can't do anything. They need to rest on the Saturday. They can't act, they can't build, they can't do anything. So Jesus comes and he dies on a Friday. And the following day, they couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't go there to visit. They couldn't do anything. And suddenly so it says in Matthew that after Saturday, they went over there to see the body. I want to tell you something. We need to pray because, and even Matthew 28, after following, it's when Jesus, after he was resurrected, it's when Jesus gives the grand commission. Just after. He was back to life and he says, now I'm back to life and I'm sending you. This is so important, what Beth has shared with us this morning. Because first of all, there was nothing we could do. Maybe you are in a moment where it's a Saturday in your life, where it's completely silence, where there's no sound and there's nothing you can do. But as the sound, the silence goes on, the Spirit is moving. The Holy Spirit is moving over there right now. And I don't know what is the miracle that it needs to happen on the mission that you are on. But the Holy Spirit is moving right now within the silence. And Sunday will come. Let me tell you something, Beth. I want to declare upon your family, first of all, as we pray. Because what Jesus did on the cross, he wanted to let everyone of us know it was not our action. He didn't need our action. Our action is to pray and get into the move of what he's doing on his mission, because he has done, was his work. He made clearly that he didn't want anything, anyone to do anything on a Saturday, but to enter the day of rest. Let's pray. Let's pray this morning. So if you're visiting and you just want to, if you don't feel comfortable to be with someone you don't know, don't worry. Okay? Not pushing anything, but it's a moment for us to pray. Can you just emphasize the topics for us to pray for?
Okay, so number one is if you are feeling any, and hopefully you've got it in front of you, 61, if you're feeling brokenhearted, captive, prisoner, poor, or mourning, pray for those things for each other. And then the second thing is praying courage and strength on this mission of go. And also I think that God will really lay people on your heart. Who is it, God, that you want me to get alongside this week? It's not just going to be this week, just so you know. And for the longer term, from this week on, to proclaim those things.